right, so what's up, everybody? This is Ruben Garcia, and this is a beautiful day. And today on the Proven by Ruben podcast, we have David Fowler with Fowler's Southern Gourmet. What's up, brother?
Not a whole lot. Just enjoying the nice weather today.
Thanks for meeting me on a Sunday to do this.
Yeah, well, good time to do it. Days off. Barbecue business is down on the weekend for us, so perfect time to sit down and chat about Fayetteville and barbecue and whatever else you got planned.
I love it, man. So if you could, for everyone who's listening, can you tell who you are, what you do, and how you do it?
Sure. My name's David Fowler, and I'm pretty much a Fayetteville native. Raised here, left town, came back to town. It's kind of a story that's true for a lot of people that are here that are been in the military, out of the military, just wanted to open up a family business and moved here with Polly. And my dad already was here and started the food truck, which a lot of people probably knew as the Blind Pig.
Yeah.
Of course, unfortunately, ran into a couple trademark issues, and so now Fowler's is the trade name that we go by. And we serve Fayetteville's, I'll say, best barbecue.
Woo-hoo!
I'll go ahead and say it.
Let's stamp it right here. Boom! Best barbecue. All right, so what had you – so I guess it was the military that had you leave?
No, just growing up here, and I'm one of those people, I guess, in that generation where didn't really see Vietnam, which a lot of people do, but
right.
Was disillusioned with it as a you know, late teen, and wanted a chance to see the world, and so took some job opportunities through a company here in Fayetteville that took me to Washington D.C. And I was fortunate to have a good run doing some hazmat work with anthrax cleanup after 2001, the mailings there. Went to Senator Daschle's office, so got paid a pretty good amount of money to see the world as a young guy. It was a good experience, and then made my way back to North Carolina after that.
Before we make our way back to North Carolina, that seems like a very interesting job. Did you, what's the craziest thing you ran into with doing that gig?
Oh man. Craziest thing we ran into, I guess the term going postal is true.
Cool.
And, some of the things we, pulled out of, lockers, I would say is probably the craziest thing we saw there at the, Brentwood Postal Facility.
Like what?
Oh,
can we not?
I don't know.
We'll move on.
We had a 10-year NDA that we signed. We're well beyond that, but it was definitely crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, some definite hate between manager and employee. So
yeah.
That's the best way to describe it. So
yeah, do you take some of what you learned in that job into what you're doing today?
Sure. I mean, I'm in the food service industry now and hospitality, but the ability to travel and see other people and how they do that and how other areas do things greatly affects what we do here. If you're if you're in one local area, you're going to only be exposed to that. So for me, I think throughout life, for me, travel has been the greatest education I've had. Been fortunate to travel Europe, Africa, all throughout the United States. And you always pick up something. Someone's doing something better than you, knows something more than you.
Yeah.
They've experienced something more than you. So if you can gain anything from them, you always take that information on board.
Yeah. Out of all the places you went, which was the best place for you to really take a lot out and use today?
I think that I worked in, for as far as food and beverage, I think the biggest thing for me was I was working in Naples, Florida as a sommelier. And for me, that was the exposure I had with different chefs and just the professionalism. The level of professionalism there is extremely high. And for me, that was the most important thing for me for food and beverage.
Yeah. And then do you guys bring that here into Fowler's, which we're in, and I hope everyone who's listening, go to YouTube, go to Proven by Ruben, watch the video, because we're here in Fowler's right now. But do you bring that the same type of professionalism, the standards, you bringing that back here?
Yeah, we try to. I'm the kind of person that I don't want to take everything too serious.
Right.
We're relaxed in our dress and things here. But the professionalism comes through in our food and, you know, how we go about that and the amount of care that we put into that. And then the same aspect will come where we're getting our ABC permit, hopefully here this, tomorrow. So that will carry over as we start doing some of those events. And if you've had a chance to see any of the food we do with LeClaire's on their Wine and Bites program that Pat has a wine vendor in, and then we'll do food pairings with them. You know, that's something that's still near and dear to me.
Yeah.
Role reversal. I used to do all the wine part. Now I get to do the food part. So
right. Yeah.
You know, musicians want to be athletes. Athletes want to be musicians.
Yep.
Wine guys want to do food. Food guys want to do wine.
Yeah. So. And we'll jump on that because we talked a little bit about that at LeClaire's. For the anytime that I travel and I go to a place where I'm going to sit down and eat, the first thing I ask is say, well, if I'm going to get a beer, I'll say, hey, what's the local stuff? Like, give me the local stuff. I want to taste the local stuff. Are we going to have a lot of local stuff here?
We'll have a selection. We'll have a selection of local stuff as well as some of my favorites. I'm a huge Colorado drinker. With wine, it's a little bit tougher. We probably won't do as much.
Right.
There are a couple wineries that do interest me here in the Yadkin Valley area, but you know, Europe and California still reign supreme on the wine. So
yeah,
we'll stay there.
So we might go deep into this because I know that you enjoy wine.
Yep.
And I know you have a palate for wine, right?
We're all right with it.
We're all right with it.
Yeah, we're all right with it.
So say what, because for me, the first, and this is me being super ignorant on this, right? Like, I think barbecue plate, brewski, like beer. Like, now, what for your barbecue plate, what kind of wine would you have with that? Because that, to me, already throws me off just a little bit.
Sure. Well, it depends on what we're eating barbecue-wise. We'll stick with, like, you know, pulled pork and beef brisket. So,
okay.
With all things, I look for wine that, for me, I look for wine that has balance in it, and balances with the food. So, I'm going to look for, we're going to have rich, fatty foods. We're going to need something that's got some structure to it, that's going to hold up to it, and then characteristics that could play off each other. So, in particular, wines from Southern France, Northern Spain are very ripe. They're going to play with those. There'll be a smoky element that you can get from the varietals that they grow there, either Syrah or Mourvèdre, and I think those will pair up pretty well with it. And like I said, there's that smoky characteristic. If you really wanted to be strange, which I haven't tried it yet, but we might do it. There's some Pinotage from South Africa that has a chemical reaction that produces what they call coffee Pinotage, and it tastes just like coffee with chocolate covered cherries on it. That might be something that's fun that could work its way in there. But I don't know. I mean, with the warm climate and the style of wine being produced in California, it's going to be New World wines or like I said, Northern Spain or Southern France.
Right. No, I think that's cool. I think that's another different element that you guys are going to bring that is kind of a disruption a little bit in the mindset of barbecue and beer, right? Like, whoa. And then you guys are going to have, like, I'm guessing, a combo of that. Because for me, there's no way I would know what type of wine to drink with whatever, the
sure.
fatty, the smoke, right? And to have are you guys going to have a combo where I can say, ooh, let me just figure that out.
Yeah, we'll definitely, you know, this is a learning curve for us as far as social media. We're getting a lot of insight from some people here local that are much better at it than we are. And so we're figuring that out and how we can kind of promote things together saying, hey, this is our suggestion.
Right.
One thing I learned in the wine business is the customer's always right. So if somebody comes in and they say, hey, I just like Chardonnay and I really don't care if it pairs, then that's perfect. I'm going to help you find what the best thing is for
that
you.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So here's our suggestion. You don't like it. We're really happy to get you exactly what you want to.
Yeah. So. Okay. So learned a bunch being outside of North Carolina. Now you're coming back to North Carolina. All right, you hang your hat right back into North Carolina. What are you doing now?
For as far as like goals for here? Or?
Yeah, so because when you came back, was it the first thing that did you jump into the food truck?
No, so I had been doing restaurant work in the Raleigh-Durham area. And when I left Naples, I was pretty disillusioned with working for other people. I've been involved in four business startups for different companies. And
wow.
I thought for a minute, I said, I'm putting in all this effort. I should just do one for myself.
Right.
And at one point, I was driving down to Southern Pines, which I used to live there. And I looked at Polly and I said, I'm going to open this place. There's going to be no name. I just want to call it the Butchered Pig. She said, that's a pretty dark name. Some people may not like that. And I was like, I'm going to do everything from scratch, all pig. And And for whatever reason, you know, we laughed about it for a little bit, and then fast forward a year and my dad calls me up and says, "Hey, I'm thinking about starting up the barbecue food truck again." And I thought, that's a terrible idea, but why not? I'll drive down to Fayetteville a couple times a week.
Why did you say that? What was that? Why'd you think that?
I guess I just hadn't done enough research on on food trucks, two on barbecue, and three on Fayetteville. So, I think our first visit when we came down, started to incorporate, went to my dad's house and was talking to my stepmom, and she had this, I can't remember what publication it was, local publication, and it featured Fayetteville Pie Company. And Leslie Pearson was on the front of it, and she said, "Yeah, we got
to go back and listen to that podcast."
Yeah, yeah, great people. So yeah. It says, "Come, we got to go down there and check it out." So actually, this location here, we drive down, and I walk in, and I was like, "Wow!" Like, I don't expect to see this in Fayetteville.
Yeah,
and you know, super friendly people up front. You know, sat down, ate the meal, cool little location. It got me a little bit more involved in looking at downtown area. And I thought, hey, this is interesting to me. And then we start getting the food truck going. And then one thing led to the next. And I was like, Fayetteville definitely is the right location for this.
Dude, I love it. And we're happy that you decided, or that, you know, the Fowler's team decided that this is a good place. What were some of the struggles when you first started opening up that truck? Would you run into?
First of all, we were extremely blessed to get support from different people here in town. Bud and Vicky over at Das Bavarian House, wouldn't have been possible without them. They were so kind to let us use their kitchen as a commissary, use their food truck, which we leased from them, and you know, just getting that going. The difficulty on it was very limited space.
Right.
Very labor intensive menu, smokers on the truck. It's summer, it's hot. You know, and I was driving to Raleigh, just due to lack of refrigeration. I'd have to drive to Raleigh 2-3 times a week to pick up, all the food. We don't use a freezer for anything. So I'm driving back and forth. We're working every day, hustling to find spots to go. We're super fortunate that, Seed was running their food truck events down at Festival Park. And that really was like the watershed moment for me, where this is really, really, a viable business opportunity there.
Yeah.
And the feedback we got from the community there, but at the same time, you're on a food truck and you're cooking overnight, over off Murchison Road, and you live across town, the other side of town. So you're driving around at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
with pork and trying to get pork cooked and feed 160, 170 people at Festival Park on the next day. There's a lot of logistics, and I'm not the most organized guy. So learning to organize myself because it's not like, I'll just turn the pan on high and we'll saute this.
Right. No doubt.
This pasta dish faster. You're firing it up. It's 12 hours. You better have figured out your time frame correctly before you get there. So just all those logistics, learning the business, learning the food truck aspect of it, and then just the travel. That was the hardest part, I think, travel.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, man, there's a lot there. What would you say is one of the main things you took out of just that experience of getting that food truck started, of looking for places to park the thing, to smoke in for 12, 13 hours? You know, what did you pull out of that experience?
I think the thing that I appreciate the most out of the food truck was just the amount of people that I met. And, you know, we still run the food truck, not nearly as much as we did, but
right.
There are people that I met through the food truck that I absolutely would not have met otherwise. There's different interaction with the customer than you would have at the restaurant. You know, you're at the window, you're chatting. It's much more relaxed than it would be. And, you know, we do a weekly visit to Bright Lights Brewery, a great place if you guys haven't been there before. And we serve all kinds of people down there, from old Fayetteville to people that have just got here and stationed here. Young families come through there. I mean, we feed kids and families that show up that don't even come there for the beer. So,
cool.
You know, we feed the pups sometime with the pup cups for the dogs. So,
dogs go home upset. They're like, no, there's no, what are you going to feed me now?
The best ones when you get the shy dog and they're looking at you and he's like, I don't know if I want the strange guy to pet me, but man, that barbecue smells good on him.
Screw it, I'm going for it.
We're gonna go check it out. So
yeah,
but no, I think the social aspect of the food truck and meeting other people that do food trucks. There was a camaraderie there, and when you're there, and if you found a good location, and then you know another truck's going there, you know the people, you know, just like send out that little hey. You know, we did really well there. This is what you can expect. Or, hey, maybe this spot's not the best spot for
you. Yeah.
You know, that aspect, that's why I probably enjoy the most about the food trucks.
Yeah, no doubt. So you said you run them once a week?
No, not necessarily, but that's our consistent. We've done, we just don't run as much. I mean, we were running at 6-7 days a week last year.
Right.
And then this year, it's just not been as much. There's been the events on at Festival Park don't happen this year. This takes a lot of time here at the store. So
sure. Yeah, no doubt. So the first time I ate the food that you guys have was at LeClaire's at the food truck. Tacos were freaking amazing. Matter of fact, we ate all the tacos except for one. And I wanted to drive back home because we're going to pick up my daughter from my mom's house. And I truly wanted to save it for my mom. And dude, I was like,
did it make it?
It did, but I was like slowly nibbling on it because it was like, it was so freaking good. But do you think that maybe in the long run that you may have someone who knows the way you guys smoke the meat and knows the way you guys do everything here? And that'd be their one thing, like jump on the food truck, go out there 3-4 times a week and keep that.
Oh, for us? No, absolutely. Yeah. We do have plans on the truck. So, we still use the pull behind trailer that belongs to Bud. But we have purchased a step vehicle, step van, step
oh, cool.
bus. I don't know what the correct term for it would be.
Yeah.
It needs some work for us to be ready for it. And that is a goal to go there. We've seen the difference in what people expect from off the food truck and what people expect off there. So there would be a different menu on there.
Oh, gotcha.
Probably, but it's something we're working on. But right now, as we're coming into the end of summer now, that probably be a project we hope to hit for next summer, have something up and running.
Right. That's kind of cool. So the menu is going to be different on the truck, or at least there's going to be some items on there. That's cool. Cause right. So like, imagine if I'm riding by and I'm like, oh, I really want whatever that is. And I'm like, otherwise I'd say, well, I'm just going to go into the restaurant and just pick it up. No. The only place you get it is on the truck. Find the truck. Where's the truck?
Well, then
that's a cool little aspect.
The attitude's different. Things that are less traditional, I think, are accepted better off of the food truck. So I'm a person who loves creativity. I love trying things. And so having that avenue where you can have that little bit more tongue in cheek things and, it's just different. Be honest with you, food truck is a lot of fun when things are going well with the food truck and you're not getting like thunderstormed on.
Right.
The food truck is a ton of fun to work on. And so we like to carry that over just with humor, sometimes with the hot sauces we make, to menu item names and things like that. It's just different than the restaurant. And so we want to really kind of separate what the menus would be on there.
Yeah. So you said sometime next year you may have that running?
Yeah, I would like to. I mean, I think that would when we'd be able to see it really hit its full stride. So there's a lot of work in between now and then.
Yeah.
And some of it I can do, and some of it when it comes to outfitting the truck, I'm waiting on someone else to get it done.
So. Do you guys have someone to do that?
We've got some. We do have some people doing it.
Cool. It'd be cool to watch the transformation of, because in my mind I'm seeing like this kind of rust bucket and like there's a wasp nest in the corner, right? And it's like it's not there yet. It'd be cool to watch the process of you guys getting it up to speed for next year.
I'm not an automotive guy, and I promise you, when we bought that thing, it wasn't running. And my brother's a mechanic, and so. I'm not sure exactly what we did, but there was fire coming out of the exhaust when we were testing the engine. So I don't know what was in there that caught on fire, but apparently it worked. So I was like, it's good, man.
Freaking wasp nest, man. Yeah. You just burnt them suckers up, dude.
Absolutely.
Look, you smoke everything you come in contact with.
Everything, right? So
I love it, man. Cool, man. So I know that a lot of people listening to that, watching this is looking forward to that, because you're right. There's a different element to the food truck, and it's kind of interesting that a couple years ago you were like, heck no, you know, food truck in Fayetteville. And now you say that's like the thing that you love. There's a lot of creativity on the food truck. That's really interesting. And I'm talking to a few people who would like to get into the food truck industry. Just talking to one a few days ago. He's looking at Raleigh for his market. Mm-hmm. But what would you tell him? What would you tell him?
I mean, I think the things I took away from the food truck for me is that if you're looking to open up a restaurant or however, maybe you just want to stay as a food truck, but it is the greatest pilot for your business that you can do. It is literally almost like crowdfunding for your business. So when we drew up our business plan, it was to run the truck for X amount, reinvest money back into the business that we were earning from that, and basically start purchasing the equipment we needed to do to get into the brick and mortar.
Yeah.
And you get instant feedback from customers. And you also have the flexibility to change things around as you're doing it. So from one venue to the next, you can do things slightly different if you want. And that's something that you don't necessarily get with brick and mortar. There's an expectation that this is what they serve. This is, and people want consistency. And on the truck, there is a little more flexibility. So that's a really fun aspect. But as far as like practicality, it's, putting together a menu that is concise and that you can put out good food fast. That's the biggest thing.
Right.
Customers don't like to wait in the heat or the cold. And so you want to put together what you can do really well, but you want to keep it small enough menu that you can do it quickly. Do everything well, but quickly.
Right, right.
So that's the biggest challenge, I think. I see a lot of food trucks, they're out there and they have these extensive menus and, sometimes keeping 5-6 items on the menu that's short and sweet. And you see trucks, especially out of the Raleigh-Durham market, come down, or if you do events up there, that they're serving. Have you been to the Raleigh food Mm-mm. truck festival?
No.
Oh man, it is crazy. It looks like there's a sea of people there, and these people are doing $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 worth of sales out of a food truck in a single day. So you need to have a concise menu
that you can
deliver good product fast. That's really what food truck is for me. And have a good time while you're doing it. So.
Yeah. Man, I wonder how I would even walk through a court like that with that much food. I mean, I think I'd have to order the smallest thing on every freaking...
Yeah, that's the problem. You walk the whole line and then you walk all the way back and then you go, I got to get back in line again. And inevitably, just skip the lobster truck because you're going to spend all day... I don't know if you're familiar. Have you seen Maine Lobster? They were the truck featured. They were on Shark Tank, and I went up there and I looked.
Where are they based out of?
There's a franchise in Raleigh.
Oh, okay.
And but they come down. I've seen them in Southern Pines. I don't know if I've seen them in Fayetteville yet, but be prepared for like a 2-hour wait. People just line up. It's the craziest
and they're okay
thing.
With that.
Oh, they don't. Yeah, people they don't care.
Yeah.
No, it's good food.
Yeah, no doubt.
But yeah, it's crazy.
Do they set up chairs because it's like guys?
No.
Here's the expectation: you guys are gonna be sitting for 15, 20, 30
skipped
minutes.
It. I skipped it, but I caught them at an event in Cary, and I finally got in line. It wasn't quite as long, but somebody was smart and they set up a local brewery up there. Had set up their beer vendor tent. Next to the line, and so you could just dip across. And about 3 beers later, I finally got my lobster roll.
Yeah,
it was good. It was good though. It was good. It's bearable.
That's awesome. So you said that while you were on the truck, you had a chance to kind of test the market of some of the stuff that you guys were cooking. What did you guys, or maybe there's not, but did you guys make something that people just weren't receptive to that we don't see now that was on the food truck?
Seed had a couple of kind of, I don't really call it chop challenges, but they had a couple of, themed events, I guess is what we would call it. And, I think we did a smoked brisket stroganoff. Yeah. That's, that was a fun try.
Yeah.
It tasted good. It wasn't the most attractive thing. But that for me, I think probably was the one, there's not a lot of translation to that. People, street food, like when you do tacos and burritos and things like that, people, they're receptive. It's easy to eat while you're doing it. Stroganoff probably wasn't the best it wasn't the best,
yeah,
the best thing to serve off a food truck. So
yeah. What was the best seller that you were like, that's got to make the menu when we go brick and mortar.
Yeah. So when we first started, you know, my dad had actually started doing the food truck, several years before, just one day a week with his brother. I don't know why they did it. Two 60 something year old guys decided to do a food truck one day a week. Sounds like a terrible idea. But
they must have seen how good this could be, right?
Yeah, they had fun. Well, they both enjoyed cooking, so
we're just doing what they love.
Yeah, so that's it. Was literally, we like doing this, and we're going to do it.
I love it.
So then, when we get going again, I think we carried over, and it was really simple. It was like pork sandwich, chicken sandwich, and then there was barbecue burrito. That was about as freaky as we got, was the barbecue burrito. And then we started down there, and I made a sandwich with like a spiced up teriyaki and grilled pineapple with cayenne on it.
Called it some pineapple.
We named it the Angry Hawaiian. And so everything on there is these boring names, and then there's Angry Hawaiian. So everybody walks up and they see it. And our sign there, we didn't have a sign for the truck. It was literally a piece of butcher paper that we wrote on. So people would come up and say, immediately they would identify and say, the one named item, I want that, Angry Hawaiian.
Yep.
And so it was crazy. And that, and at one point we were like, all right, we got to come up with names for the other sandwiches,
yep,
just so we can get people to stop doing this, because there's, we're blowing through it before we can, we can't make enough,
right,
of them, prep,
yeah,
enough of them.
Yeah.
So, so for us, that was it, was creating something where people could identify with that product. So
right,
the next one we did was the brisket, and we named it the Boss. Boss. Everybody wants to be the boss, eat the boss. you know, the brisket's really
destroy
good.
The boss.
Yeah. So that was the next one. And I think really brisket was the thing that, set us apart, where people started to say, yeah, these guys, their brisket's really good.
Yeah. It's not just a regular food truck. Like, they're really doing something.
Yeah. And, yeah, that was the, for us on the truck, it was like, when we get to the brick and mortar, we're going to have to do more with brisket. And then we started doing, offering burn-ins, one day a week. And then we got enough popularity on that. We do 2 days a week, and I don't know, maybe eventually do it 3 days a week. We'll see.
Right. Okay. So when did you guys in the food truck kind of look at each other? Maybe went on the food truck. This is how my imagination goes, right?
Okay.
Like, you're in the food truck, you all kind of look at each other and like, we have to turn this into a brick and mortar. When did that happen?
Oh man, that was early on.
Was it?
Yeah, it was early on. I think, like I said, you know, we had done a couple small, you know, pop up setups on Ramsey Street, and you know, it was nothing to be ashamed of, but it certainly wasn't what we were in store for once we started doing the food truck events downtown. So we had talked to Seed; they were, you know, setting up these events, and they said, hey, we're going to put a call out for trucks, see if anybody wants to do it. And we're like, you know, we had something scheduled on one of them. We were like, you know, should we go do this event? And I said, you know, if we're going to do business in Fayetteville and they're setting up an organization for food trucks down here to do this, we should participate in it.
Right.
So we went down there, and the first week we were like, you know, how much should we cook for? You know, how many people should we cook for? I said, I don't know. Maybe we serve 100 people. But we served 100. We sold out 100 people, and it was like 45 minutes. It was crazy. I was like not ready for that number of people to come out downtown.
So that was bittersweet, though.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Oh no. Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
No. Are you? We got done, yeah, and we looked, yeah, around, and we were like, all right, well, we're headed over to Husk to get a beer. You know what I mean? And it's like, great job, guys. Like,
yep.
And then we're sitting there looking like, we can't move the truck for another like hour and a half before we can pull out. So what are we gonna do? So we locked up, went and grabbed a beer. So then next week came around, and we thought, well, I wonder if it's going to be as busy as it was last time. Maybe it was like, you know, first time, it was a little lucky. So we said, all right, we'll cook for 100 and I forget. We ended up serving 130 and sold out in about an hour and 10 minutes. So then there was that little bit of like, yeah, man, that's awesome. But, yeah.
Yep, but, exactly, right.
You know, and then the third week we served 100 and just under 180 people. And we almost made it the whole time, about an hour and 45 minutes. It was about a 2 hour service. And so at that point we were sitting there looking at, and I was looking at the size of the smokers we were using. I can't even begin to explain how tough that was. Cause
why?
Just trying to get enough meat into them. They were small, and we're on the truck,
gotcha,
and so you're driving with the generator, trying to keep the smokers running at the,
yeah,
right temps. And, you know, and I remember one evening I was literally shoving pork like with like shoulder braced, like trying to jam as much in there as I physically could so that we could serve that number of people. And then just with the byproduct that is you don't have variety. You can't really do much if you're limited by space.
Right.
So we're looking at that, and then, you know, it was very important for us to maintain the regulations that are set down by the health department about preparation and where you're at. And, you know, we outgrew the space and time that we were able to have
at
Das Bavarian House. And so we started looking for the next place, a little more space. So we ended up right there behind LeClaire's at the Cooking Connection. And they're very gracious hosts. We still have a great relationship with them.
Yeah.
And that space really helped us grow. We were able to get a bigger smoker involved in there. And at that point, we had thought we had found our permanent home downtown. And we're looking excited to commit to a place down there. And then that didn't quite work out. There was it's tough sometimes with historic buildings. Let's just put it like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And we're seeing that right now with the one that's next, darn near right next to the baseball stadium with the little wars that they're having with that building.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you're dealing with structural issues with buildings that are 100 years old.
Yeah.
Wanting to preserve the integrity of them, but bring them into the 21st new century. World. You know what I mean? Yeah. So there are challenges, and there's give and take on both sides. And I don't do construction or planning or anything like that, but I understand there's difficulties in figuring out what's right in both areas.
So. Yeah, I'm sure. So they're not doing the food truck thing this year?
They are. It's just not at Festival Park anymore, which was such a central location. So I believe they're doing two. They're doing smaller number of trucks down at the visitors center.
Okay.
Down right there, that little traffic circle on Person mm-hmm. Street.
Yeah.
And they're doing that. And then Mana Church has a couple food trucks that are coming that Seed help organize for them as well.
Okay.
That come out. I think they do two or three trucks after their Wednesday or Thursday service. Don't quote me on what date it is, but
Thursday.
I do see them out there.
Yeah.
And those are the two bigger, I mean, those are the ones I'm aware of right now.
Gotcha.
We haven't participated in one yet this year, but.
What's that one thing where, remember back in the day, people would just start randomly dancing, tons of people randomly dance in a shopping mall or something like that. Was it a flash mob? Flash mob?
I don't know.
So so this is where I'm going with this. Okay. That wasn't just some weird thing. Like, what the heck is he talking about? Have you guys conspired, like all the food trucks? It's like, we're going to do a flash mob somewhere. Because if it's not going to be in Festival Park, we're just going to flash mob this place. Now, I don't know logistically, that probably won't even work. But this is just...
We had talked about something like that before and had gotten a feedback from a couple other trucks that we were pretty close with on trying to set something up.
Right.
And we had discussed something maybe off Bragg Boulevard. But sometimes getting everybody scheduled together, didn't happen.
Yeah.
But that is, you know, that is a concept that you see down in like Austin, Texas.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah. You'll get beer and picnic tables, and then food trucks show up, and then bam, you got a party. You know what I mean?
So, darn right.
So I don't know. I wouldn't say that'd ever be ruled out. But and then who knows? Maybe when they get the incubator kitchen done downtown, that could be a
that's
place
right.
for that. So
Do you guys have a mailing list, right? Like. Mailing list and Facebook.
We don't do any mail service, no.
Okay.
But through Facebook, we get really good feedback, and now we're really focusing on Instagram as well. So
Instagram
pictures tell stories. So
100%. Went to a house 1930s something in Haymount yesterday, and we had a local investor flip it. Almost sold it through Instagram.
Is that you in the tub?
That was me in the tub.
That was you in the tub.
Freaking,
I saw it.
See the size of that thing?
It was big.
Freaking huge.
That was
so
big.
I was
thinking about that for a minute. I was like, that's a nice size tub.
I'm 5'11", never reached 6 feet. Maybe one day I will. But yeah, man. And it was nothing. It was nothing to lay down in that thing. But Instagram, it's got a ton of attention, especially if you tag your location. I mean, it's the bomb. I love me some Instagram. But I guess what I was saying, like, for those followers who are following you and you guys just like flash mob. Hope Mills Park, you know, or whatever. And we're like, the people like me are like, dude, babe, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And you just got kind of that following, even if it's on Instagram too.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, it's something that would interest me. But just with the attention that's been so much in the restaurant, I'm not quite as involved with what's going on with food trucks. And, I, you know, and I have just being around other food truck operators.
Yeah.
You get a feel of what's going on. I think, and then there's the other aspect that there's a lot of food truck activity on Fort Bragg. We've never done that, but there are quite a few that right. do things on Fort Bragg. And so I don't know any of that aspect at all. And, you know, and how that works, but I do know that some of them really have their focus on that. I mean,
yeah.
it works really well for them.
Good. So you guys you guys figured out that you guys need a brick and mortar, and now you guys are in here. And what's the address for people that are listening saying, come on by?
723 West Rowan.
723 West Rowan. All right. Talk to me about some of the struggles of getting this thing up to speed.
There weren't a ton of struggles on the interior. Like I had said, mentioning the Fable Pie Company, that was one of the easiest things was, people say, where's 723 West Rowan? Well, do you know where the Fable Pie Company was? There we go. So thank you, Justin and Leslie. You guys did a lot of hard work for us. All I had to do was say right where the Fable Pie Company was.
But, do you guys have some Fable Pie Company gear still in here just as a remembrance?
No, you know, honestly, you know, came in, dealt with Justin mostly, and he was such a great guy. Some of the equipment was in here, and he said, hey, you know, I didn't jump into an empty foxhole when I came, and I'm not going to do that with you guys. Nice. So it made transition super easy. We still can't get their hours off of the tent on the door over there on the right. When there's a little bit of humidity, you can read the Fable Pie Company's old hours right there. It's still there. But we see Justin on a weekly basis. So no, there's still definitely that feel. And I think really for the first couple months we were open, we'd still catch that customer that was like, didn't realize it had changed, and they'd show up. And so we'd say, oh no, they're over in Westwood. And either they'd eat with us that day or they'd head over and then they'd come back and try us. So,
yeah.
But they did a lot of groundwork, as far as letting people know what this location was. And so, you know, I hadn't thought about that, but it really made transition for us into it. It was already accepted as a kind of a hot spot in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
So, which, you know, this is a little bit off the beaten path. So we were super blessed that happened.
Highway that's kind of like shooting straight towards
now,
here. That's kind of cool.
Now that's coming and we'll see, we do see more traffic coming straight across on Rowan all the way through now. So
cool. Cool. Do they, and this is just a kind of an odd question, do they ever have someone come in there and say, hey, is this, what the heck? Why does it smell like pie? Is Fowler's here? Are they doing that at their new location? Have they ever had that?
No, I don't know. I'll have to ask Justin about that. So the one we get is, there's another barbecue, place opened up on, Rayford Road called Southern Coles. And when they wrote the news article about us, we opened similar time frame. People thought that we were the same company. So we had people coming in over here. So there was some confusion there. So we do see that.
It's kind of a good thing though, right? That you had people coming in a little.
Yeah. No. They said, hey, we read about it and, you know, we ate there and we ate here and they thought it was the same owners, different locations or something like that.
Right.
I think we've gotten through that, and I believe Jason's doing really well over there as well. So
yeah,
it's fun watching other places doing well here in Fayetteville as well. Independent places.
Yeah. To bring some context, how many, I don't know really how to say it, how many, I guess, plates are you guys pushing out once you guys are open in about a week here?
How many plates a week do we?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a good question. I should go look at what the, I do everything by pound.
I measure everything by pounds, so I guess if
I did math, I could figure it out. But
How many pounds do you go through a week? I guess you would.
Now you're gonna make me have to check my invoices here. It's a lot.
A lot.
It's a lot. We I would say that if I had to put a rough guesstimate, I could walk over there and run a report right now. But if we're gonna put a rough guesstimate on there, we're serving 125 to 145 people a day at lunch here.
Holy moly. So how much meat is guesstimation?
So we do third pound servings per person. So if you could do the math on that real quick for me, I'm really bad at it. So actually my old math teacher was here and then basically,
really?
Yeah. And then basically, Ms. Bailey, sorry, I'm still bad at math. and then basically double that because the raw weight of the meat, you lose about 50% of it. to your cooked weight. So we're doing third pound cooked weight. So then,
so if I were to say about 84 pounds a day, does that sound about right?
Sure. So we're cooking about 160 pounds of raw
meat. Well, I times it by two.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, okay.
Probably
yeah.
About 84. So if I were to do, listen, I never liked numbers. I don't know.
It feels like more than 84 does when it? I pull it out. Yeah, that's for sure. And I'm getting ready to cook it. So
how much does one pig weigh?
They vary. So we cook shoulders, but the whole hog that's offered from we use Heritage Farms, which is in Goldsboro. Their hogs range about 150 pounds, I believe, is what I saw for their whole hog weight. So we cook shoulders, and a pair of shoulders weighs on average about 40 pounds, so 20 pounds per shoulder.
Whoa.
Yeah, and it's a I don't know. I always laugh. Think barbecue places, and you pull up and you see like they got the little pig out front, and he looks real cute. And there's nothing really cute about cooking barbecue. That's for sure. So that's the one thing I definitely have learned about it. So
yeah. What do you mean? What do you mean?
It's just I don't know. I mean, I guess it's more. I don't know. When I first started cooking it, we were cooking with a little more mass produced product because that's what was available to us. So you get these like packages and the meat's square looking, and there'll be a shoulder blade in there, and that's it. And now when we get the shoulder, I mean, I look down and it's like there's veins like coming out of an artery that I always look at every time. I'm gonna have to pull that guy out, trim this. The skin's on there, it's still got hair on there sometimes. It's messy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it really is. But
it's fresh.
It is fresh, and I think that the product that we are able to use now, I think is superior to pretty much anything you can get on the market.
Why did you choose them? Or why did you guys look at them?
That was, I guess, when we were business planning, I really wanted to do everything from scratch. So I wanted to put out the best product we could.
Right.
And that was the biggest question was we're not going to be the cheapest barbecue place. We know that if we do this.
Right.
So the goal was to try to be the best barbecue place. And then will Fayetteville sustain that market? Or is that market going to, you know, work for us? And so we had tried different products, and a good friend of mine I played paintball with up in the Greensboro area, his family owns Nieces. So if you've ever had liver pudding, which I love, or any of their sausage, you'll probably see it at Harris Teeter. Publix doesn't carry it. I don't know what their problem is. You know, these
non-North Carolina companies. Better get on board.
So he put me in touch with some different places and made the introduction and said, hey, check out Heritage Farms. And so the more I read about what they did, I felt like their practices fell in line with what our practices, that I wanted our practices to be. And then Polly and I took a drive up there and we said, yeah, we like this place a lot. And we grabbed a wholesale list from them and then tried to figure out how we make it work. So we'd drive to Goldsboro and then from Goldsboro to Raleigh at first. And then we said, all right, well, once we get into brick and mortar, we'll be able to do it. So, so now we use their pork exclusively. I think it's the best flavor. They don't put any sort of brining solution. If you ever go to the grocery store and you look at any meat and it'll say up to 10% solution added, there is zero to that. It literally is pig meat, bones, skin, and fat. So, and fat equals flavor. So that was the big thing for us. They're doing a heritage breed hog from the 1800s or what you would have seen then. The marbling on it's excellent. And we think it makes excellent barbecue. So
yeah. Do they deliver? Do you guys?
No, we don't. We've selected a food service that carries their product.
Oh, cool.
And then if there's something that we want that they don't have, I can get my food service rep to get that from him. So, but the great thing is if I want to experiment with something, I can drive up there and I can get something directly from them. So it's a really cool spot. As a matter of fact, they sell clothing and stuff from, guy who has I'm drawing a blank now here down on Russell Street, Cotton River Outfitters. I think some of his product is sold up there as well.
Oh,
so
cool.
It's kind of cool. It's this little triangle. It's always little triangles where you meet people that run in the same business. So
yeah. Yeah, I listened to this guy, Grant Cardone, and he's like, dude, network. He said, your parents always told you stay away from strangers. He was like, no, you need to meet everyone. There's so many people. In some way, we're all connected. You just got to go out there and meet them. You got to go out there and talk to them.
Well, growing up here, my family's been here since the late 40s. My grandfather moved here, and I've got two uncles that have lived their entire life here, and my dad's lived pretty much his entire life outside of the Air Force here. And one thing I always grew up thinking, I'm not a sociable person, I'm not a salesperson. And as I get older, I realize I could talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And right. Just kind of watching that from, you know, my father and my uncles have all been involved. It's been really neat to meet people, and then and people recognize me by my name. So you're Fowler. Oh yeah, you know. And I hear all the stories about how bad my dad and my uncles were. Oh, so they were growing up here, so I kind of cringe sometimes. Like, yeah, that's them. I'm related to them. So
I love it, man. And now you're doing a podcast on video.
On video, yeah.
So. Yeah, man.
It's the first time for everything. So
yeah, so this is your first podcast?
First podcast.
Good, dude. I'm feeling great right now.
Awesome.
Is this the first podcast for the family? And the family's been here since the 40s, so I'm sure.
No, I don't know. My dad's done radio, so
I don't want to hear that.
So, well, no. We were talking about it with him the other day, and I don't know if he's done or not, but we were saying that, you know, podcasts might be his thing. So he's much more comfortable, I think, talking in front of everybody and doing
sure.
stuff. So so I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
He at 65 is starting to find these new hobbies. So who knows? Maybe we'll have some more podcasts with him. So
dude, let him know. I'll tell him everything.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing to hide about this stuff.
You should get him on. You should get him on and do something other than about barbecue or something like that. But he'd be a good.
Yeah. When you guys get the ABC license, we'll have a brewski and then.
Oh yeah.
We'll just all just like.
We should do it.
Explode on this microphone. So what's next for you guys then? Because it sounds like, you know, 2000, what year is this?
18.
Okay. So 2019, you guys are going to be doing a lot more of the food truck, you know, at least getting that introduced back into the market. Besides that, what else is next for you guys?
Well, next for us is going to be, right now we're only open for lunch Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 2. So the very next thing we'll do is we'll start incorporating some evening hours because we do have a lot of people that have had our food on the food truck, and then that didn't translate into them being able to get here on limited hours, you know, from across town. They might have lived in Hope Mills, or, you know, we had people coming in from Grace Creek. We've had people come down from Durham to eat with us on a regular basis. So having extended hours, that'll be the next thing. And with that, there's a couple key components that we're having installed here with the restaurant that will kind of complete the vision. And so that will allow us to expand our menu a little bit. And then of course with the wine and beer, and as we're coming into probably a little bit cooler weather, the ability to expand on the patio. So those are all things here. Keep tweaking the business to reach what the full vision of it was.
Yeah.
And kind of close out year one of in the business, and you get some metrics that you can kind of set goals for the next year with.
Yeah. Are you guys are you surprised of what you were able to accomplish in your first year here at brick and mortar? Because it's brick and mortar first year, right?
So we opened brick and mortar as a business. We've with the food truck and brick and mortar together, we've been open for about a year and a half. The brick and mortar we opened here on March 1st of this year.
Yeah.
I want to say
March. Yeah.
Last day of February, first day of March.
I can't remember.
So, it's been shorter here. And like I said, there's a learning curve with everything.
Yeah.
So it's, always learn something new and keep your mind open. So
absolutely. Are you guys surprised though with what you guys accomplished here?
No. My personality,
believe in it.
My personality I look at things and I always think, wow, I could have done more. That's a good thing. And sometimes you need to learn a little patience.
Yeah, man.
So for me, I look at things and I go, man, you know what, you know, I 3 months behind where I wish I was, or
right.
And sometimes like that. But you know, when you stop and you think about it and you realize, man, we're doing really well. This is, you know, been blessed to have such a great, you know, start. Then if I look at it, I go, no, I think we're really pleased with how everything's gone to start with. Even looking back on last year, build up with the food truck. I mean, we had a lot of adversity, which every food truck does, but it seemed like every time we had a big event, the weather was perfect. You know what I mean? Like those things, that doesn't just happen. You know what I mean? It was right. Like things really worked out for us. And we're super blessed for that to work out the way it did. So,
well, it's awesome that you look at it that way, right?
Yeah. In the heat of the moment, you don't always.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, I got struck by lightning out of a dirt bag last year. Yeah. Yeah. We were out there and, I don't know what.
How
it was.
Did we miss that in this?
Yeah, podcast? I forgot about that. That's the best part of the food truck. We
what?
We were a dirtbag, and I always joke with Shannon and Tito. It's like every time we're here, it rains. I don't like we're bad luck, it was a tornado warning. There was a tornado spotted coming up, and so everybody piles out of the brew, and we're looking at these funnel cloud kind of thing going down. We're out there in the food truck and the generator's sitting on the ground, you know, trying to keep it away from where people would sit. And so we're kind of monitoring the situation, and then just bottom dropped out, rain coming down everywhere, and started to get a little bit of flash flooding. So jumped out of the trailer to grab the generator because it sputtered, got wet and died on us. And so I was going to try to move that to a drier location, and I didn't get the door shut on the food truck, so I reached back for the door, and lightning struck close enough that it went through the water and up my feet. It was ankle deep water and popped me.
What?
My left arm was numb for about 3 days.
What? What did you do? Did you drop?
Oh no, man! I ran. Yeah, right. Like when I get nervous, I giggle. I ran into the dirt bag soaking wet, giggling with like my arm hanging like a Neanderthal. So. Shannon freaking out. Are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I think so. Ran back to get in the truck and tell him, hey, I think the generator's dead. And
I might be too.
And as soon as I got out there, I saw lightning again. I jumped into the trailer so fast. I mean, it was like if you were going to do box jumps, like that was the highest box jump you've ever seen. And so I have a healthy fear of thunderstorms now.
Dude, two things. One, because it's been lightning, it's been raining and lightning here lately.
Yeah.
And I was on the computer, I don't remember what I was doing, but I was on the computer about 3 nights ago, and a lightning hit somewhere in the backyard, and it went through my dang computer and hit my fingers. Yeah. And I was like, whoa,
it hurts.
And that was like traveling through everything, the walls and then my computer, and it got this little zap, but I was like, it just blew me away that it's got that much power to move through everything like that.
Yeah. So my business partner, Jeff, was making a sandwich right then. And the way that the door is, it's right near where he'd be doing the food. And so he realized the door's not open. As I'm trying to shut the door, he realizes what happens, that I'm getting hit. And apparently he just turned to look and said, Dave's dead. So I was like, thanks, man. And just kept making the food. I was like, come on, man. Like you didn't. He's like, yeah, terrible. he's like, you were there. He's like, and then he's like, there was a loud boom and the flash. He's like, and then you weren't there anymore, man. He was like, Dave's dead.
He just disintegrated, gone.
Yeah, yeah, we'll finish that Anger Hawaiian for you, though. Don't worry.
Yeah. He probably saw the same video I did not too long ago, dude. This lightning struck this tree, and the tree must have been there since the dinosaurs were here, and it freaking exploded the dang tree. And the one half went one way, the other half slammed into a house, took down the roof. And I look at my wife and I'm like, how the heck does anybody survive that? So he probably saw the same video and was like, dude, he's dead. Continue cooking. He's gone. Like, there's no way.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Fortunately, it wasn't a direct hit, so.
Right. Yeah.
But I do vividly remember it. It was almost like time stopped for a second, because I felt this, like, it started like a tingle, like, on my leg, like slow-mo, and then all of a sudden I was like, what is that? And then bam, I was like, oh, that's what that is.
Well, you know, they say lightning, lightning comes from the ground.
Yeah.
You ever see it? It's like all these little, like, fingers.
Yeah.
And it's just trying to make that connection. So you probably felt that little finger, man, trying to come up and connect.
It's an experience I definitely don't want to repeat. That's for sure.
Yeah, but dude, you're.
I've got the story for it, and a bunch of people saw it happen. So
the second thing I was going to say is, man, you need a lightning sandwich.
Lightning sandwich?
Yeah, because that would start like, what the heck? Why do you call him? Like, you see that guy back there with the half shaven hair? You should shave your head. You got struck right on the head.
Yeah. We that's a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
Might have to call it like Thunderstruck or something like that. Hopefully AC/DC won't come get us.
Well, if they show up to get it pissed, right? Like, then there we go. Take a selfie.
Get the selfie. Get it on Instagram.
Yep, exactly. But yeah, man, like, you know, because you were talking about some of the names of the sandwiches is going to help. Like, that's such a great story. And you're going to have more stories with this place. The more stories, the more names for sandwiches, right?
Oh, sure. And, you know, the one thing we've started having fun with now is the hot sauces we make. So we're into that time of the year. And there's a group of, two particular gentlemen who, I met them through LeClaire's. They meet up there, part of Sand Hills Sustainable Group.
Okay.
And I know they do a lot of stuff down at Dirtbag's Farmer's Market as well.
Yeah.
And my younger brother's a huge pepperhead, and neither of them eat the hot peppers, but they like to grow them. So they started bringing like Carolina Reapers, ghost peppers, all kinds of peppers. I didn't even know anything about them. So I'm starting to learn.
Yeah.
And like an idiot, I always taste one just to see what the deal is. And so we always put together a little funny story about the hot sauces, and inevitably we always get challenged by people to make spicier and spicier sauces. So that's a new avenue for kind of the fun and jokes that people get. And we started putting like little goofy names on them and little goofy stories. And, you know, we started out with like X-Men because the mutant peppers mutate. And so, you know, people like that. And then,
that's awesome.
We have Captain Hunter's Private Reserve, which, Hunter LeClaire works for us, and he is a guinea pig for anything spicy. We always make him eat it. So we had to name one after him, and it was the spiciest one at one point. Now we have the bro sauce for all those all those bros out there that love to crush PBRs and can't find anything spicy enough for them. We got it for you.
Yeah.
We got it for you. That one is for you. So
I want to be like, okay, so when is the Proven by Reuben sauce going to come out? But you guys would do a joke and it'd be like the sweetest, I'd be like, what the hell is this? You'd be like, that's it. That's how soft you are.
we could do a Proven by Reuben sauce. We'll get it. We'll do one. That'll be the next one. So we got a fresh batch of peppers coming beginning of this week. And we'll knock one out. We're running out of names. Sometimes you got to have more content.
Dude, it's got to have some hair on that pepper, you know. It's got to have all right. The beard. You know what I mean?
Well, the last one, the bro sauce,
have him choke on it, like
bro sauce. We put in about 35 Carolina Reapers in a single bottle. Ugh. So that'll give you a little bit of hair.
Yeah, yeah, so. No doubt. So you said they like to grow the peppers. Are they crossbreeding?
You know, I don't know. James constantly brings us these habaneros, and I've never had an habanero that's that hot. I've never seen an habanero that blisters like you'd see on some of these super hots.
Yeah.
So, they measure peppers heat index on a scale called the Scoville.
Yeah.
That's how hot their potent the capsaicin is in it, I guess. To put in perspective, a jalapeno is like 8 to 20,000 Scoville. Habanero is about 80,000 Scoville, from getting this correct, 80 to like 120, and a Carolina Reaper is like 1.5 million. So you can only imagine how spicy that is.
Is that the hottest?
No, it was the hottest for a while, and I believe now the hottest pepper is a mutant version of the Reaper. And the same guy out of South Carolina has done it. His name's Smokin' Ed, and it's called Pepper X. There is no name for it. But if you guys like hot sauces, check out, speaking of podcasts and stuff, check out Hot Ones. Have you watched Hot Ones ever?
Yes.
So they eat that. The last dab is Pepper X. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, and that's like cool. That runs in at like 2.5 to 3 million Scoville. So if there's any way you could possibly double up a Carolina Reaper,
there's no
someone
way.
Someone figured out how to do it.
So. Oh, my gosh. I love that it's just called Carolina, whatever.
Yeah, that's cool. The Reapers they're evil looking peppers, man. I'm telling you, you look at it as ugly, gnarled looking with that hooked tail on the bottom of it. It just looks like something you shouldn't
eat.
There's a reason why it looks like it's something you shouldn't eat.
That sounds freaking terrible. All right, so I'm going to hit you with a few questions, cool?
All right, let's do it.
All right, get that out of the way. Go to my Dropbox. Dropbox went public. For anybody who's listening, I did not buy stock, so that's not the reason why I said that. All right, so what do you believe, besides getting struck by lightning, what do you believe is your favorite failure that you believe has set you up for success?
Favorite failure.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be a failure, but something that felt like, oh, gosh.
Favorite failure that set us up for success.
Yeah.
I think for us, for me, the failure would have been probably not getting into the first location we were looking at. I think long term, like as we've been in here and you know, and kind of figured out what works for us, like at that point it seemed like a huge setback. But in the end, I think that we ended up with more of the right kind of space. So at that point in time, I was like, man, this is going to put us back, like I was saying, 3 months. And
right.
So I did feel like that was a failure, but I do think it set us up for success. I think, you know, just everything, the way it worked out here with Pie Company moving out as we were moving right. in, and everything lined up well for us. And then the relationship that we were able to build with Justin at the same time, like the, you know, having to wait a little bit longer was definitely outweighed by what we were able to develop here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, like you said, the relationship that you guys have, and then people are like, hey, listen, where is it? And you just hit them with, hey, where are the Pie Company used to be?
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome,
man. And see, some people don't see that, right? Like they see failure after failure in the very beginning and they're like, screw this, I'm done.
Oh, but sure.
At least you've given it time to look back and be like, oh, that's the reason
why. Well, there was times too where, you know, we really pride ourselves on quality, and there was some screw ups where, we didn't cook something right, and so we made the decision early on. If it's not the way we want it, we'll just eat it and toss it. We're not going to serve right. it. So, yeah, there was one day in particular that, yeah, it's pretty rough. I remember pulling up outside of PwC to serve lunch to the PwC people, and it was a disaster, man.
Really?
So, tired, didn't latch the refrigerator, everything spilled down the
oh my gosh.
Yeah, so it was a mess. You should see what several gallons of barbecue sauce looks like with homemade pickles spilled down the floor of a food truck, and then just hit some bumps while you're doing 55 a couple times. And it's a disaster. So there were those days, but I don't know how much we actually how that helped us improve. It was just bad. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is it more secure? Is the sauce
more
secure?
Oh, right? Yeah, man. We developed a nice little latching
yeah,
system.
Yeah, exactly. See?
So bungee cords.
Yeah.
Great. Bungee cords are amazing.
Heck yes. All right. So what profession other than your own would be fun to attempt?
What profession other than my own would be fun to attempt? Wow. Man, I would be a... I would be a pro golfer.
Oh, don't even say that word to me. And I'll tell you why, just real quick. So I injured my elbow, and it's been bothering me. And I Googled it. And I was like, what the heck is this? Oh, it's a golfer's elbow, where like the inside is the tendon with that whatever in the inside of your elbow.
Yeah.
Freaking killing me, dude. Killing me. So anyways, I hear golf, and I'm already upset.
I would be a pro golfer, I think. That's kind of my escape.
Yeah.
I spent 10 years getting my rear end beat by my wife, who played professionally. So
really,
yeah, that's one of those things where
what's she doing now?
She works here. Polly's my business partner, and still will beat me in golf. So I don't know. That's the one thing. Like it's so challenging because it seems like I should be able to do this. Like I'm trying hard enough. Why can't I do it? So so I don't know. That would interest me for sure.
Yeah. Have you guys done a tournament, golf tournament, Fowler's golf tournament?
No, we haven't. No, we haven't.
That'd be cool. And then you could play golf, right?
Yeah.
Well, kind of, right? Because then you got to cook the meat.
It might be
torture, actually.
Yeah. No, I don't know about that. I started thinking about that. Yeah, that'd be great. But then, what am I going to be doing? So.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Awesome. Purchases of less than $100 that have most improved your life.
Under $100?
Yeah.
The most improved my life.
Besides those bungee cords.
Wow. That's a good one. Under $100 as far as work goes, right? Or just in
you,
general?
Man. That is like most improved your life.
I have this write and wipe calendar that I use. I'm not a digital guy. Yeah. So without a doubt, the write and wipe calendar, that's what keeps me sane. So
why?
If you plan anything ahead, it helps you stay organized. Because if you can spend an hour at the beginning of the week or 2 hours at the beginning of the week to block out what you need to get done and when you're going to do it, it's so much easier than having to think on the fly. You just go there and go, 100%. This is what I'm doing. And, while it seems like a drag while you're doing it, it makes the rest of the week so much better.
Yeah, man. I 100% agree. And for the people that I coach, I trust that they're listening to this and they're like, oh, is that why he keeps beating it in our head? It's like every anybody who's reached any type of level of success, they lean on a calendar hard.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where if you're not, we run a digital calendar here, and I probably drive everybody nuts because I'm always like, hey, what's on the calendar so I can write it down myself.
Yeah.
Cause I'm not that guy. I think we talked before about capabilities of my cell phone. I was like, I'm the wrong guy to ask about it. For me, you know, after a long day and then in the evening, I'm looking at how many pounds meat do I need for the next day? And do I have an event? And how many pounds of meat? If I have all of that written down, you know, I don't have to think. I go, okay, I don't have to do math. I don't have to do conversions. I literally say, all right, this is what I'm putting in, and there you go.
Yep.
And so for me, that makes things easier.
Yeah. You see LeClaire's high-tech calendar, right? It's a huge window.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Visually stunning, though.
Stunning. It's awesome. It's awesome. All right. So because you brought it up, less than $100 that has most improved your business.
Less than $100
besides the calendar, because I guess that's both, right?
Yeah, but I mean that for me, like, that just helped me.
Yeah, got it.
Less than $100 improve the business. Man, that's a tough one. I am gonna have to say, I don't know. Commercial food stuff is small. Yeah. It's more than $100.
Yeah.
Let me think about that one, and we'll come back to it.
Okay. I was going to say rubber boots. You need rubber boots.
I don't know. It's all more than $100. I would say like some of my knives, but they're more than $100. That's real tough.
What about that little green plant right there? It's cute.
You know what, man? Those are nice, but man, we had to get rid of a couple of them because I don't have a green thumb, and I don't know. No matter how much I tried to take care of them, they died.
Yeah.
I was like, we got to move to ones that are like, you can't kill them. I don't know. If I were going to pick something, I would say just like a bunch of measuring spoons. So I take that back. Under $100, the thing that for business is there's an application called Paprika, and that's really good. I forget what the download fee on it is, but you can share your recipes to employees on different platforms, which I don't. I just use the one. They all have access to it. And it's a recipe storage program where I can put in what I want in the ratios, and then you can scale it. And that's really cool. It does all the math for you. And we're coming back to this, I don't have to do math thing.
Right.
So
no doubt.
Let's say I want to scale it by 10 times and it'll give me my yield and changes all the ingredient ratios for me.
Whoa.
That's pretty cool. And that's under $100. Everything else is over $100. But I'm a firm believer in that app. It's awesome. And then like, let's say you find like an idea online or something. Like if you're a home cook and you want to scale something up or scale something down, you can go on there. Yeah. And it automatically will download that app into your thing. It'll cut out all the fancy news article or whatever you got it from. If you find Bon Appetit, it'll delete the entire article and just pull the recipe in there for you. And then it'll input the directions as well.
Awesome.
So Paprika. Yeah. Check it out. It's really good.
Does it also say if you buy, I don't know, 10 pounds of pepper, does it also start watching the intake of what you're using?
You know what? I don't know if that actually has an inventory on it. I haven't tried that with that app.
Yeah, yeah.
We can run that through our restaurant software.
Gotcha. No, that's awesome, man. That's a really good app for anybody who's listening that wants to get into the restaurant business, food truck business.
Yeah, or even if you're just a serious home cook and you want to do it I think there are other apps out there like that where if you put in like your shopping list, it'll tell you what you've saved, that what you can make out of your list still. So pretty cool app.
That's freaking awesome, man. All right. So, since I've peppered you with questions, right? You see what I did there?
I like it.
Yeah. Peppered you with questions. What question do you have for me?
I was going to ask you if you were from Fayetteville. That was like my first question when you sat down. Like I haven't talked to you at LeClaire's a couple times. So,
yeah.
And what made you start the podcast?
The first thing that happened is, you know who Gary Vee is?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was like, we're going audio, so you need to start figuring that out. So I did. And I screwed up for a while. If you go look at my first podcast, video and audio, it's like, ugh, right? And then I did a podcast with Dirtbag. Mm-hmm. Whole thing fell apart. The whole thing deleted. Like, it's just learning. So the first reason was because of Gary Vee. He said, get into audio. And then I started just, man, loving the conversation, started getting really attracted to all these business owners' stories. Because it's cool to hear like, oh yeah, they're crushing it. They got the best food. Yeah, that's fun. And it's like, yeah, right. But where did it come from? Did you know you got struck by lightning? Like, I love the back end of all these businesses and how they're starting and all the challenges they've had. I love it. And I think the listeners do too.
No, it is there. And that's the thing I love about independent businesses. And I see that more and more here in Fayetteville, especially in the downtown area. I grew up here in Fayetteville. I don't know. I think I told you that off.
Yeah.
Kim, but, I always lived on the other side of town over by 71st High School.
And, yeah.
There's like this divide, like Skybo Road's the divide.
Yeah.
And I never spent that much time over in the Haymount area. And here now and seeing businesses and how businesses in downtown, get together and share information and stuff like that. And then also, up in Haymount with Pat and stuff like that. It's exciting. And it's something refreshing, honestly.
Yep. I agree.
So, and especially the same thing with food trucks. There's such a level of camaraderie, and it's fun. And you hear the stories from different people and their backgrounds, and it's really enjoyable to learn those, learn about them and what makes them tick.
Yeah, exactly. No, I love that part. So what question do you have for everyone listening? Where they can maybe come in here and be like, where's David? I got an answer for him.
Oh, man. What question do I have for everyone listening?
And watching, yeah.
Just and watching.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think doing barbecue, the question would have to be, like, what's better, Eastern Carolina barbecue, whole hog, with vinegar mop, or more of the Western North Carolina, which I guess we've gravitated to. I have an uncle who literally will not eat my vinegar because it has more than just vinegar in it. What is the right Carolina way? Or, that would be my question. Cause doing barbecue in North Carolina, everybody's done it at least once I did this with my ribs. So it's always fun. And like I said, you always run into somebody that either done competition cooking or just cooks ribs every weekend or,
Yeah.
So it's always fun to hear people's input and on what they think is right. If you're doing it wrong. And just kind of getting that vibe. Cause I guess we're closer to Eastern North Carolina, but we're still not too far away from Piedmont area. So curious to see what people in Fayetteville think is the right way for it. Plus, we have so many people that aren't from North Carolina that are here.
Right. Yeah.
Figuring it out. So that's the question. I guess the question should be, is it wrong to have ketchup in your vinegar sauce? There you go. Is it wrong to have ketchup in your vinegar sauce? That's the question.
All right, guys, you heard it. So you let them know when you come in here, let them know the answer to that. And if you enjoyed this podcast, which I know you did, and other podcasts, subscribe so you are the first one to get the alert. All right, brother. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks, Ruben.
Especially on a Sunday, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
You rock.